All right, thank you for your service. Who do we say this to? Yeah, typically we say this to either active military or people who have served in the military. We say, thank you for your service. And it's not something that we say to just anybody with any job, and that's because we recognize that there's something unique about being in the military, and that you're not just in the military to further your own career or to further your own finances, both of which are fine things for all of us to do. But when you're in the military, there's a sense of service. There's a sense of people in the military doing what they do so that we all can do what we do, so that we can have some safe and prosperous lives, and so that we can enjoy the good things that we get to enjoy in our country. We don't say thank you to your service just to people who consume the good things in our country, even though we want everybody to do that. We want everybody to enjoy the good gifts that we experience here. But when somebody is a part of something bigger than themselves and has chosen to do something that makes all of our lives better, we say to them, thank you for your service. This morning, we are in week 3 of this 4-week series that we're calling How We Belong. And each week we're talking about a different aspect. We'll cover 4 different aspects of what it means not just to go to a church, but really to belong to a church. So 2 weeks ago, we talked about the idea that we worship together, and that the together is really important when we gather on Sundays and at other times, that we bring our worship to God, but that we also are doing it in the setting of one another, and that the actual gathering matters for us and for others. And then last week, we talked about the second aspect, which is that we connect to each other. That in particular, outside of Sundays, that our lives are intertwined and we're encouraging each other and building each other up and keeping each other going. And now this 3rd week in the series, we're talking about the idea that when we belong to a church family, we serve each other. We're talking specifically about the concept of serving. And just as is true with somebody in the military, God has made each of us to be a part of something far beyond simply being a customer or a consumer, which is what we can be tempted to do within the church. We can be tempted to be consumers of the spiritual goods and services that the church can provide for us. So we're like, I'm going to be a part of the church so that I can get good Bible teaching and a solid, active children's ministry and maybe some social events that help us out. I'm going to consume the goods that the church has to offer. And there's a certain way in which, of course, man, we want every kid involved in the children's ministry. And we want good, solid Bible teaching for us all to benefit from. And we do want us connected to each other. But God has made you not to be a customer. God has made you to be a member. God has made you to be a part of the church family where you live in a way that you're a part of something and connected to someone far bigger than you. In fact, for many of us as Christians, one of the things that we long for is that idea that at the end of our lives, we'd hear those words from Jesus that show up in those different parables where he says, well done. Yeah, well done, my good and faithful servant, or a slightly different way of putting it, God saying to us, thank you for your service. Which, man, can you imagine that? Imagine not in some impersonal way of just giving us a stamp on a piece of paper, but the idea that God would see that we have done what he made us to do. We're going to be focusing in on this idea today through the passage that you heard Ryan read in Romans chapter 12, verses 3 through 8. We're going to zero in on this, and we're going to see the calling for us not simply to be consumers, but to be servants of his church. And the passage is going to break down real simple. It shouldn't be too hard to follow. Verses 3 through 5 of Romans 12, Paul is going to talk to us about who we are, which is a major theme of the Bible. A lot of times before we get to the what we do, we are told who we are. So he's going to start in verses 3 through 5 and tell us who we are before he moves on to verses 6 through 8 and talks to us about what we do. So we'll start with verse 3. We'll start in this first section where Paul is telling us who we are. And he says, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." So Paul's opener here, he wants us to think rightly. And he's talking to us specifically about how we view ourselves. And the warning that he wants to give is that we could end up thinking too highly of ourselves. And he doesn't want that. In fact, he ends this verse by talking about the idea that we'd view ourselves in accordance with the faith God has distributed to us, which probably means this. It probably means that he wants us to have a view of ourselves that aligns with what he's revealed to us in his word. We've had God speak to us, first and foremost through Jesus and through the word that we have recorded here. So we put our faith in what God has revealed, and we want our view of ourselves not to be too high, but as he says here, to be a view with sober judgment. And I love this because sober judgment, the Greek word that's translated here as sober judgment, is the same word that's often used in the Gospels when Jesus casts a demon out of someone. And later on, people gather around to see this person that previously was kind of a madman possessed by a demon. And when they come to see him, it says something like this in English, they were sitting there in their right mind. That's the same word here. God is not interested in you having this incredibly, unrealistically low view of yourself. He wants you to be in your right mind. He wants you to see yourself clearly. And again, the warning is the idea that we might think too highly of ourselves. Now, he's going to tell us in verses 4 and 5 why this would be a danger, especially within the context of the church. So in verse 4, he says, "For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." Paul's warning us not to think too highly of ourselves, because if we do think too highly of ourselves, we won't understand that we are all simply members of one body, and no part is any more important than any other part. I mean, in fact, if I'm going to sum it up just right here, if I'm going to sum up what I think Paul is saying here, the thing that he wants us to grasp about who we are, what he is telling us is that we are, two words, important pieces. And depending on where you're coming from this morning, one or the other of those two words may be the one that God wants to like italicize and underline. Some of you may feel pretty secure in your gifting and in your place in this church, and you're going to need to be reminded that, hey, it's great, but you're a piece. You're not the whole, you're a piece, you're a member. And some of you look at yourselves and you can't possibly fathom that you would have any significance in this church, and you need to be reminded you are an important piece. You matter. I love puzzles. Who loves puzzles in here? All right, a bunch of you. My family is not aligned completely on this, but I love puzzles. All the puzzles we own are basically Christmas puzzles. And so from Thanksgiving on, I put a puzzle table out in the living room and we do puzzles. And one of the things the thing that's most difficult and most infuriating, not only about puzzles, but in life, one of the things that's most infuriating, most disappointing is when you're putting together a puzzle and there's missing pieces. Or some of you know, even one missing piece. I mean, you will scour your house trying to find that missing piece. You're like, did the dog eat it? Like, what happened to this thing? Because as great as the picture is, and you could say, oh, it's just a piece here and there, you still get the sense. The whole picture is marred by those missing pieces. You're looking to put together this wonderful thing, this beautiful picture, and just a few missing pieces end up ruining the beauty of what you're looking to see. Every piece in a puzzle is important. And so for some of you, if you're making the connection and you're like, all right, I get the analogy. You're saying within the church, you know, all right, if we're all thinking of ourselves as puzzle pieces, every piece matters. And if I'm not playing my part, then there's a blank spot there, and that's not good. But some of you, if you're following the analogy, you might say, all right, I'm a piece in the puzzle. But if it's a Christmas puzzle, I'm like a piece of the snow. Like you got this picture, and you know, you have Santa Claus, and you have a Christmas tree, and you have a reindeer, but I'm just like part of the snow. Like I'm there, but I'm not really prominent. It's not the piece that if you got to choose your piece, you'd necessarily grab. And I'm just sort of blending in. I'm just a part of the snow. So yeah, if I'm missing, it's a bummer, but I'm just kind of blending in. I'm just a part of the snow. So I want to say two things to those of you who feel that way. The first is this, and again, you puzzle people know that. Every piece really does matter. The whole picture really is marred by any missing piece, no matter where it is. So you matter. And the second thing that I want to say is that sometimes, at least in our puzzles, the snow pieces are corner pieces. And corner pieces are pieces that you find first because they end up impacting where all of the other pieces around it go. You might have a role in the body of Christ that doesn't seem particularly prominent, that's not incredibly showy, but your piece of the puzzle not only affects that specific space, but all the spaces around it. We are all pieces of the puzzle, but we are all important pieces of the panorama of God showing his glory to the world. We are important pieces, which means this. It means two things. It means we respond, first of all, with humility because we're pieces of the puzzle. We're not the whole thing. Some of you, you don't have a confidence problem. Some of you are like, it's no problem. You're looking at the puzzle analogy and you're like, I'm Santa's face. I'm like, this puzzle needs me. And you're very confident about it. There's a phrase that's become really prominent in our culture. It shows up all the time. It's a phrase that we say to each other very frequently. And the phrase is, you are enough. We put it in cards to one another. We write it in notes. We text each other, you are enough. We post it on social media. You are enough is such garbage. It is such trash. You are not enough. You need Jesus. We all need Jesus. You are not enough. You need a Savior who loved you so much that he came to die on a cross for your sins to bring you into the family of God and bring you adoption. You're not enough. Are you kidding me? We need Jesus. And even once Jesus saves us, it's not like then suddenly you are enough. You're not enough. You need the Holy Spirit day by day, moment by moment, empowering you to live the life that God has called you to live. You need Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit. And you know, you also need other Christians. You're not enough. You are not the whole puzzle. You're a piece of the puzzle. We are all pieces. And while it's not true that you're enough, man, it is profoundly true that you matter deeply. You are important to God and you are important to this church family. We are all important pieces in the panorama of God showing his glory to the world. And so Paul then is going to move from who we are into what we do, starting in verse 6. I think I made a mistake here. So the first part of verse 6 is not up here. I'll just read it for you right now. No, it is up there. Okay, all right, we're all good. It says, I'm very prepared. It says we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. So here's where we're moving. We're moving into who we are. We are important pieces in God showing his glory and his beauty to the world. And what we're going to do is going to relate to these gifts that we're given. And the gifts he's talking about here are what we typically call spiritual gifts. So these are abilities that are God-given, and in some sense you could say, well, every ability is God-given, and that's true, but these are specifically given through the empowering of the Holy Spirit when we become Christians. So there are abilities that we work on and that we cultivate and that we grow in, but they're specifically given by God through the power of the Holy Spirit, not primarily for the purpose of making money or furthering our career or making friends, but primarily to serve God and to serve his people within the church and as the church goes out with the message of Jesus. We are given these abilities by the Holy Spirit, and he says each of us has one. Each of us has a gift. Something that happens, my experience with this congregation is that you are a very encouraging group of people. Sometimes people from other congregations will ask me, and sometimes even some of you, you'll come up and you'll give me a compliment, and you'll be like, I know you need compliments because it's really hard doing this, and yeah, I'm not ever going to say no to a compliment, but I'm not starving from it because you all are very kind. Here's a compliment that some of you will give to those of us who are up front, whether it's me or Andy or Jeff or Summer, just those of us that spend more time up front. You'll stop us between services and you'll say, gosh, you are just so gifted. And that is such a kind thing to say. But what I want to make sure that we understand is that every person who is serving up here with an upfront gift has that gift by God's grace, as Paul says. And that same grace has gifted every person in this room with a gift. Those of us up front aren't the ones who happen to have a gift. Everybody has a gift. In fact, Paul in 1 Corinthians 12, which is kind of the parallel passage to this, it's another passage where he talks about the church being a body with many members, and he talks about a bunch of different gifts. In that passage, he draws an analogy with the body, and he says there are parts of the body that are very prominent. Sort of like, you know, the face, the eyes, the mouth, you know, that there's parts that are very prominent and everybody notices them. And then he says there are also parts that are unseen, and by which he means the internal organs, sort of the inside of our body. And the point that he makes is, yeah, the face is real prominent, but the internal organs are actually the most important part of the body. And the point that he seems to be making is we make a big deal about these prominent parts of the body, those of us who are up front, but in Paul's opinion, the more important parts are actually the parts that you don't see. On a given Sunday morning alone, and there's lots of other things that happen at this church outside of Sunday, but in a given Sunday morning alone, there's somewhere around 100 people doing different things, probably more on a lot of Sundays, between life kids and tech and the music team and the coffee house and all over this campus, different people doing different things. They are the ones who are actually making all of this work. Those of us who are up front are often the beneficiaries of that. So don't doubt for a second that even if your role is not an upfront role, you have been given grace by God to serve his church. And here's what Paul does then. He lists off seven gifts. These are not all the gifts. He's not intending for this to be seen as all the gifts. He's just rattling off examples of the different gifts. So I want to look at them. I want us to read this part together, and then we're going to actually break them down and just talk through them one by one. So he says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. And so if we've moved on from, all right, who we are important pieces. If we're moving on to what we do, you could say, well, Paul's making it simple. He's saying, here's what you do, you participate. Like you use your gifts, you participate. But Paul is not just saying to participate. He is saying participate enthusiastically. Did you notice this throughout there? Sometimes he keeps it simple and he says, hey, if your gift is serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. But a lot of times he amplifies it. He says, if your gift is giving, then give generously. And if your gift is leading, then lead diligently. And if your gift is showing mercy, then show mercy cheerfully. He's not just saying, all right, come and use your gift. He's saying, do it excitedly, joyfully, passionately, enthusiastically, because you are a part of something far beyond yourself. Now, we'll do this kind of fast, but let's just run through these seven gifts right here. And the reason I want to do this is I want you just to listen to these and see if you kind of recognize yourself. Because there might be one or two of these that you say, that kind of sounds like how God has gifted me. So first one, he talks about prophesying. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. And a simple definition for prophesying in this context is speaking timely, spirit-led words. He's not really here in this context talking about the idea of telling the future. He simply is talking about the idea that within the body of Christ, there are people specifically gifted who seem to be able to see in a given situation with an individual or with a small group of people, or sometimes even with a large group, here's what God's people need to hear right now, right in this moment. Not even just saying, here's what the Bible says, but saying, here's what I think God wants us to hear right now. And it's interesting because in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter 14, Paul talks about the idea of prophecy within the church, and he doesn't talk about it as something that's sort of infallible. He talks about the leaders of the church discerning the prophets. And if somebody speaks up and says, I believe God is saying this to us, a lot of times the leaders would say, yeah, that's good. We believe that is what God's saying to us. And other times they might say, no, that's not in line with the Bible, so we're going to disregard that. Which is probably why he says, let your prophesying be in accordance with your faith. In other words, in line with the Bible, in line with what God has revealed. So some of you are specifically gifted with individuals who are talking to you and telling you their problems, where you get the sense like, I think God wants me to say this to them, or I think I'm seeing through to the heart of the situation. Sometimes it's in your life group. Sometimes it's in a Bible study. Sometimes it's up front when people come to pray with the prayer ministry team after the services, and the person praying not only is going to lift up your burden and your request, but has a timely word for you about what God wants you to hear. We need this in the church family. So he says, hey, if your gift is prophecy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. Second one, it's simple. He says, if your gift is serving, then serve. And we all serve. Every gift, including the upfront gifts, is serving in a broad sense. But serving here is about helping out behind the scenes. Doing the things that make everything, the setup and the teardown and the media and sometimes the organization and getting meals to the right places. This is all the behind the stuff that helps the church be who the church is meant to be. And some of you, when we have these discussions, you have sort of a confidence problem because your gift is not an upfront gift. Not every gift is an upfront gift. And Paul says, hey, if your gift is serving, don't be ashamed. Don't see that as second best. If your gift is serving, then serve. In fact, right now, we have about 25 people in our church who are going through some training and some equipping to potentially, in the coming months, become deacons here. And if you're familiar with the New Testament, deacon is a specific role in the early church and throughout the Bible where people use their gifts to serve the church family behind the scenes. It's even a role in the Bible, and the word here used for serving is the word where we get that role, deacon. This is such an important role in the church that it's one of the only two jobs, church jobs, that are mentioned in the New Testament. So if your gift is serving, then serve. If your gift is teaching, then teach. And teaching is communicating biblical truths, whether it's with a small group and facilitating discussion in a life group, teaching over in Life Kids, teaching in Exit 83 or College and Career or men's ministry or women's ministry. We have all kinds of settings where we have teachers. And what I want you to know is those of us who have a teaching role here, we want more teachers. If you feel like you have a teaching gift and you're like, I don't know if they want me to use it, they've got it covered. We want more teachers. The church is never going to be in a position where we've got too many teachers and we can't use more people communicating God's biblical truths to God's people. We want more of this going on. And in fact, I've just finished a training with about 20 teachers from different settings at our church to have us be more equipped and empowered because we want teachers. If you believe you have this gift, your church needs you to use it. If your gift is encouragement, then give encouragement. And we talked a little bit about encouragement last week, that encouragement is not primarily giving a compliment. It's about motivating other believers to action. It's about prodding each other on. So quick question. Raise your hand if you ever have times that you know what God wants you to do. Like, you're clear on it. You know what God wants you to do, but you're having trouble doing it. Anybody? All right. Yeah. Every hand should have gone up. I understand some of you aren't going to do it. All right, so we need teachers who are going to tell us, here's what God says, but we all know that's not enough. Sometimes you're in the middle of it and you're discouraged because things aren't going well, or you're disheartened, or you're tired, and you need somebody not just to tell you, here's what the Bible says. You need somebody to send that text message, or to put their hand on your shoulder, or to give you that word to say, hey, keep going, it's worth it. Keep going, we're in this together, it's worth it. And some of you wouldn't be great at like teaching through a Bible passage, but you are the encourager. On the personal and on the upfront level, you are the encourager that's gonna help God's people keep going. So if your gift is encouragement, give encouragement. If your gift is giving, then give generously. And we're actually gonna talk more about this gift next week, but in some sense, we're all called to give. So don't look at this and be like, oh, it's only the people with the gift of giving that have to give. I'm off the hook. You're not off the hook. We all are called to give. But I believe very firmly, and I believe that this has been true of this church, that there's a gift of giving that has specifically to do with an extra call to share resources. And I believe there's some of you in this church that have this gift. And sometimes, this isn't 100% true, but some of the ways that you can discern that you have this gift is if God seems to keep giving you more resources. If he has blessed your business, if he's blessed your career, and you're sort of like, gosh, I didn't know we'd have this much extra. I didn't know we'd be this prosperous. That is there for you to share with others. And I hope all of us enjoy the sharing process. Some of you, it's like your favorite thing. You get so much joy over it, and it will be, beyond any other way that you serve in the church, it will be the main way that you contribute to what's going on here, is that you will give. So man, if your gift is giving, give generously. If your gift is leading, then do it diligently. And leading is bringing helpful, godly guidance to any group of God's people. You know, to the kids, to the students, to a life group on a different scale, it's giving helpful leading guidance. And I just want to mention this because right now in our culture, and even in our Christian culture, we're a little bit afraid of leading because we're like, I'm not sure that's humble. And we're supposed to be humble as Christians. And also there's leaders who abuse their power. So we're not quite sure. Maybe it's safer. Not, you know, I'm so humble. How could I ever lead? I won't do this. Paul doesn't feel that way. And in fact, let me just remind you of Paul's words when he started this passage back in verse 3. He said, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you." And here's what that means. Paul is about to lead. He's about to command. He's about to give helpful guidance to God's people. And he says that that helpful guidance is based on the grace given to him. And he's not talking about the grace of salvation there, even though salvation is obviously by grace. He's talking about the grace of God making him an apostle and a leader. He embraces it instead of shying away from it. And he knows it's by God's grace. Every leader, every elder here, every leader in life kids and life groups and college ministry and Exit 83, every leader knows or should know it's by God's grace that I've been given this opportunity. But if you are a leader, don't sit on it. Man, maybe you need some work, maybe you need some training, maybe you need some guidance, but your church needs leaders to step forward and to do it diligently. And then finally, the seventh gift he mentions is mercy, which is caring for the vulnerable. And he says, if your gift is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. All of us are called to show mercy. But some people within the church are going to have a specific gift to bring help and care to the vulnerable, to the elderly, to people who are in grief, to people who are sick. we're all called in some sense to do this, but some of you are gifted in a special way to bring this mercy. And please believe me, that is not a second best gift. That is a gift that the church needs. So use it cheerfully. Paul says, don't just participate. Participate enthusiastically. Bring your gift, because when we belong to a church family, we serve each other. So let me lead us through how we respond to this. So first things first, some of you, from the beginning of this time, before I even started into this message, you have known for a while that you're supposed to be serving, and you know exactly where you're supposed to be serving. God's made it clear to you. He's made it clear, maybe you used to serve in there and you stopped, or it's just pretty clear, I'm supposed to be doing this, and you just haven't yet. So you didn't need me to walk through all this. You know what you're supposed to be doing. And at this point, it's simply an obedience issue. It's an issue of you taking that next step. You know you're supposed to talk to Lori. You know you're supposed to talk to Jeff. You're supposed to talk to Andy because you play an instrument. You know what you're supposed to do. And the next step is simply to do it, and to do it recognizing that you're an important piece, and right now there's a missing piece if you're not serving. And that is blocking the world from seeing the beauty of God's glory, because the picture is marred by those missing pieces. And then there's probably some of you that maybe you have some sense, like you heard those seven and you're like, definitely not that one, but maybe that one. You have some sense of how God would call you to serve, but you're not 100% sure. You're kind of craving the deep clarity of knowing exactly where you're supposed to serve. And so if that's you, if you're like, all right, I feel like I kind of know, but I don't really know, what I want to encourage you is to follow this instruction. The instruction is ready, fire, aim. And here's, if you're like, no, that's not right. No, that actually is what it's supposed to say. What ready, fire, aim means is start trying stuff until you figure out where you're supposed to be. Don't wait for the absolute silver platter of the ideal clarity of exactly where you're supposed to serve. Start serving. Think about with a puzzle. You don't stand there with a piece and just look around and wait to try it until you know exactly where it goes. You try it over here and you turn it sideways and you try it in different spaces and you keep trying until you find the space that it fits. And how sad that we would look at something way more important and we'd say, I'm not even going to try until I know for sure. A friend was just telling me about somebody who right now is very, very involved, is a core part of our Life Kids ministry, who started into Life Kids not because he was convinced he was supposed to be in Life Kids, but because in a sermon I had said something similar to this. I was like, just try something. And he was like, I guess I'll try Life Kids. And he happened to stumble upon exactly where he was supposed to be. That will happen to some of you, but fair warning, that won't happen with all of you. You'll get involved in something and you're like, well, it's not this. And that's okay, because now you know it's not that. And you can try something else. And you say, well, maybe I can try over here. And then you're like, all right, this is close, but not quite it, but I feel like I'm gaining insight. Why don't I try this? Or why don't I talk to one of the pastors and find out if there's something that more fits this? We are all gifted to make a contribution. Don't wait until you're 100% sure before you start serving, because God will move even through you serving in the not ideal spot for you. We all are vital, important pieces of the puzzle. And man, let me just ask you, do you want to see people in our area see a clearer picture of God and of the gospel? If we want to show people the beauty of God's glory and the gospel of Jesus, this is one of the main ways we do this. And right now, there's too many pieces missing from the puzzle. It's not clear the way that we want it to be clear. And so just even on a practical level, we shifted a couple of things around. And if you scan, we always have that QR code on the seats in front of you. If you scan that QR code with your phone, the very first thing that you will be taken to in the Next Steps area is opportunities to serve. So if you feel like, I'm at ground zero, I don't know where to start, start there. Start by talking to a pastor. Start by signing up. Start somewhere. Take on the challenge of saying, I'm going to move and I'm going to trust that the God who wants to see his glory put on display is not going to hang me out to dry when I take this step of faith. Let's look to show God's glory through us all bringing our pieces to the puzzle of what he's showing to the world. So I'm going to invite you right now, as we get ready to close, go ahead and bow your heads. And I'll also invite the prayer ministry team to go ahead and come forward during this time for afterwards. But let me just lead us in a prayer of response to this. Father, we believe that you have gifted every Christian in this room, and we thank you for that, because we can't get bragging rights over any gift that we have. It's all from you. You have adopted us into your family. You've washed our sins away. You've promised us eternal life. You've given us the Holy Spirit, and you've even gifted us so that we can be a part of what you're doing in this world. Father, I pray that you encourage every person in here who is serving faithfully and is disheartened. I pray that you give glimpses of the fruit that you're bringing in the middle of their hard work, and I pray that you encourage them to keep going. I pray for every person who was serving, but then when the pandemic hit, stopped and just hasn't re-entered. And Father, I pray that this will be a rekindling, and that this will be a step of faith to trust that you still have something to do in them and through them. And Father, I pray for all the people that this would be a first time stepping into this, that they have primarily kind of served as customers, and this is a new and exciting and scary thing. And Father, I pray that you hold them by the hand and walk each step with them, and that they'll walk in hope, knowing that you will not leave them, that you will guide them to exactly where they're meant to be. I pray this all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Man, as we close, some of you, the prayer ministry team, is going to be your next step. To talk about this or to talk about anything on your heart, they would love to pray with you. But God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. Have a wonderful and blessed rest of your Sunday.